City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and you are there. I am here. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday to you on this 29th day of June, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and a big chunk of the country is under a heat wave. So hot weekend. And a lot of people on the road going somewhere for taking the whole week off for independence holiday. So there's a story that broke here within the last hour or so, and I don't know. It was a prank caller, a stand-up comedian, a guy who used to be one of the on-air personalities on the Howard Stern show. His name's Stuttering John. His real name is John Melendez. And Melendez sounds a lot like Menendez. So he's a stand-up comedian, and he's known for doing all kinds of weird things. Well, he pranked called the president yesterday, and even though it's a prank call, the prank call actually made some news because he said he was Bob Menendez, the senator from New Jersey, and it took him a little bit, but he finally got through to the president on Air Force One as he was flying back to Washington from one of the rallies that he held earlier this week. So he eventually was able to talk to President Trump. And he said he began by calling the White House switchboard, and he had a fake accent, and he falsely identified himself as an assistant to New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. So the switchboard operator transferred him to a subordinate, who in turn said that the president could not speak at the moment because he was in the middle of making a speech. The subordinate asked the comedian, thinking he was Senator Menendez, for his phone number and said the president would call him back. So he gave this person at the White House his phone number, which has a California area code. And the subordinate said, hey, why does your number not match our existing contact information for you, Senator? And he said, well, I'm on vacation right now in California. So they said, okay. So they called him back. And it was a couple of the Trump staffers who first got in touch with him. Then they passed his phone call on to Jared Kushner, who I don't know if he was in the plane or whether he was at the White House, but anyway, Kushner thought it was Menendez, and he patched the call through to the president. And this is how the call went.
Sir, your call is connected. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? Well,
congratulations on everything. We're proud of you. Congratulations. Great job. You went through a tough, tough situation, and I don't think a very fair situation, but congratulations.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. President, but obviously my constituents are giving me a lot of beans about this immigration thing. I know that you did something really noble by, you know, by trying to, you know, get the kids back with their families, but I have to answer to them. What can I tell them that you're going to do, you know, moving forward?
Bob, let me just tell you, I want to be able to take care of the situation every bit as much as anybody else at the top level. I'd like to do the larger solution rather than the smaller solution. You know, they're doing them step by step. I think we could do the whole thing. You know, I have a good relationship with the party. You have a good relationship with the party. And I think we could do a real immigration bill. We have to have security at the border. We have to have it. I mean, look, you got 60% of the country, they've got to have security at the border. And that's a good issue for the Democrats, too, Bob. It's not like it's good for you or good for me. It's good for both of us. People are survivors of, you know, of the problems.
No, I understand that, but...
Go ahead, Ron.
No, but I am Hispanic, so I have to, you know, I'm sure you all know I am, I have to look good to my, you know, I have to look good to my people as well, you understand?
I agree. So, Bob, let me do this. I'm on Air Force One. I'm just coming back. We had an amazing rally in North Dakota, actually.
Yeah, I saw the speech.
You know, it's a tough race. Say it again.
No, I saw the speech, and I thought it was a great speech. But if I could just ask you one more thing, Mr. President, as far as the new justice, I'm sure you heard, I'm sure you know that Justice Kennedy is retiring. And, you know, Justice Kennedy was a Reagan appointee. I'm begging you, are you going to go more moderate or do you think you're going to go more conservative?
Well, I haven't looked, I have a list of people. I have a big list of people, Bob, and we'll take a look at it. And we're going to make a decision. I'll probably make it over the next couple of weeks.
Because I promise you, you will have my vote. I will help you if you don't go too conservative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, we will talk to you about it. We're going to probably make a decision, Bob, over the next 2 weeks. We're going to have a really good. We have some great choices, and be done over the next 12 to 14 days.
All right, well, please, keep me informed, and, good luck on your trip, and thank you so much for taking my call.
You take care. I will speak to you soon, Bob. Take care of yourself.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Mr. President.
So, that's it. I mean, I'm starting to wonder, are we being punked by this? It sounds like he had a private conversation with the president. And I don't think the president has anything to be worried about. The White House is freaking out about the fact that he was able to get through to the president, and they're scrambling trying to figure out how that happened. And there's two reports. One is that the Office of Legislative Affairs at the White House got wind of the phone call as it was underway but was unable to kill it. I don't think that's true. CNN's reporting that the Legislative Affairs Office called Menendez's office this morning and said, oh, we'd like to follow up with the phone call you had with the president yesterday. And they go, what phone call? And they found out that way that this comedian was able to get through. I'm surprised it was actually rather businesslike, except for the fact that I doubt that Menendez, he's going to be a strict Democrat, and he's not going to go with whoever Trump picks for the Supreme Court. But it was news that the president said he's going to make the decision within the next 12 to 14 days. That was from yesterday. And that he also, on this immigration deal that he wanted to do, a big omnibus immigration bill rather than some of these small things, that the president said he's tired of the problem and suggested Democrats and Republicans could come together to pass a bipartisan immigration bill. So I don't think there was anything huge, but this comedian convinced, I mean, this is how, if I may, this is how people get private information about you, how hackers work. Hackers do the same thing. They'll call your bank and they will con somebody at the bank into believing that they are you and that they need my password needs to be reset. Can you help me with it? And things like that. That's what this comedian did. He basically just said that he was an assistant to Bob Menendez. And it went from there. So there's no state secrets. There's nothing that he gave away. But the comedian Stuttering John is what he goes by. was able to prank the White House, which I don't know. I guess that could happen to anybody. I'm not sure. I don't know what to make of this. The media is going crazy about it, but I'm looking at it and going, eh. I wanted to hear it. That was the first I heard. I heard it with you. So all the audio is now being pushed out through all the media houses, and they're all going crazy. Menendez, what Trump was talking about when he said you went through a tough, tough situation, and congratulations, Menendez was put on trial for corruption charges back in 2015, and it finally ended in a mistrial this last year when the jury deadlocked. And so Menendez came very close to being in the clink, but the voters of New Jersey have just selected him to be the Democrat nominee for, he's running again this next year, so, or this next November. So that's the prank call of the day. I would think it would be hard to get through to the president. One of the people on this, and by the way, the Supreme Court thing. Oh my gosh. Are people freaking out about the Supreme Court decision by Justice Kennedy? It's one person after another, after another, after another is saying, oh, we are, in fact, Jeffrey Toobin from CNN said Roe v. Wade is doomed. And it went down, there's a whole list of things that Chris Matthews and others are, abortion, LGBT rights, oh, they're going to be turned over, criminal justice. They're freaking out about the fact that Kennedy is stepping down. And I meant to get to this yesterday, but we were sidetracked. I want to give you just a little piece of information about Roe v. Wade that may change your whole opinion about why are these people freaking out? There is doesn't appear to be a chance, and you know what, that's going to be overturned. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Find the number on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Enjoy our discussion. You seem to be very fair. It's appreciated.
I just call them like I see them.
You're with Tom Sullivan.
Well, I don't know why. CNN's saying it's a shocking security breach. Yeah, it is. And you don't want your guy to take phony phone calls from comedians, but it turned out okay. He didn't say anything that he hasn't already said. So anyway, back to the Supreme Court. People are doing handstands, and I understand why. If I was in a lefty's shoes, they are looking at the court becoming more conservative. But all this business about Roe v. Wade being overthrown, Mike Lee, who, by the way, is on apparently the president's list. He's a youngish guy, in his 40s, and the president wants somebody that will be on for a long period of time. But Mike Lee was asked about, hey, what do you think the court's going to get a conservative then overthrow the abortion law, Roe v. Wade? And he said, no, he says liberal precedents might not fare as badly as a lot of people are worried about. He said all of the issues involving cases that have been decided previously by the Supreme Court, it's one thing for them to assume a Republican appointee might have a different viewpoint, but they have to take into account the doctrine which generally puts the Supreme Court on a path of following precedents. But let me tell you a little bit of history about Roe v. Wade. I don't think a lot of people have any clue. But Roe v. Wade was argued in December of 1971, re-argued in October of 72, decided in January of 73. If you take a look at who was on the court at the time, by the way, the court ruled 7-2 in favor of the landmark decision that allowed for limited, it wasn't as broad as it is today, but the court ruled 7-2 that a right to privacy existed, 14th Amendment, extended to a woman's decision to have an abortion. And from that day on, abortions were legal in this country. So, 7-2. There were four Republicans that voted in favor of Roe v. Wade. So, four Republicans, three Democrats voted in favor, and the two that said no were Republicans. So if they go by precedence, they're going to go back and look at the argument, and the argument was about the 14th Amendment. It wasn't about necessarily, I mean, it certainly involved the question about abortion, but they were focused in, as the court sometimes gets to do, is focused in on the 14th Amendment and how that works when a woman wants to decide whether to have an abortion or not. So when they keep talking about, oh my gosh, a Republican bench where you have five Republicans on the Supreme Court, they're going to overthrow Roe v. Wade. Well, they may, but as Mike Lee said, he doubts it, and he's a very conservative guy. And if you look at the history of Roe v. Wade, the majority of the justices who voted in favor of Roe v. Wade were Republicans. So it, Chief Justice Warren Burger, William O. Douglas was a Democrat, Potter Stewart, Harry Blackmun, and Justice Powell voted in favor of Roe v. Wade. So I'm looking at this and going, I think a lot of people thought it was 5-4, very close. It wasn't close at all. The decision to legalize abortion was 7-2. And one article says 6 of the 7 justices in the majority were Republicans. I went back and counted them. I believe it's 5. But regardless, the majority of the people, of the justices that voted in favor of Roe v. Wade were Republicans. So I'm not quite sure why people are having... It's obviously to stir up the base. I'll go back to the previous callers earlier in the show. It's also a great way to raise money. Send us money. We need to defend Roe v. Wade because the Republicans are going to take over the court and they're going to overthrow Roe v. Wade. Chris Matthews, the list goes on of all the people on the media yesterday that were saying that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. I think the threat is to raise money, stir up the base, and as much as I am pro-life, I don't think anybody is going to overturn that anytime soon. Yes, it is, and before we all get out of here for a nice summer weekend, we're getting more information now. Not from the comedian. We're getting information from Associated Press that says that the president has narrowed down the list of on his Supreme Court nominee list from the 25 that he said that he had put together, well, a year plus 2 years ago when he was running. He's got it narrowed down to 5. And of the 5, 2 of the 5 are women. So he's, in fact, I don't know, he may be on the plane right now. He's heading up here to New Jersey. He's coming to stay at his golf club over in Bedminster because too hot to go to Palm Beach this time of the year. So summertime, he comes north up to Bedminster, New Jersey, with his golf club. So apparently they're going to work on it this weekend. They've got it down, narrowed down to five. Two of the five are women, and that the decision is being reported by Associated Press that he will make the decision on July 9th, which is a week from Monday. So they're looking. I'm sure they are scrambling right now because they have to get those five and vet the bejeebies out of them. They don't want to be caught with somebody that is nominated and then gets before the Senate panel and starts the hearings, and somebody finds some dirt on them, and that just sets back the clock. And one of the things that in this particular selection, the clock is everything. So they want to get this done fast. Mitch McConnell was saying that they want to have a vote on it this fall, but he was talking not necessarily about fall. He was talking about right after Labor Day, which is not technically fall, but I get his point. After Labor Day, a lot of people consider that to be the start of fall, even though it's not till the 21st or 22nd. So that's what's going on with the Supreme Court. And again, I don't blame you, those of you on the left, I don't blame you for being all concerned about the court. But let me remind you, the pendulum swings. And go to the Warren Court. Earl Warren, former governor of California, who was appointed to the Supreme Court, went on to become the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And during the Warren Court, there was one decision after the other for many years that were very, very, very left-leaning decisions. So it happens. It's the beauty of our country, where sometimes the power base is on the left, sometimes it's on the right. And so if it goes to where, and there's no guarantee, by the way, none whatsoever. David Souter, who was appointed by George H.W. Bush, good Republican president, but Souter was with the left side of the court regularly. So just because a Republican president appoints somebody that president thinks is a righty doesn't necessarily mean it turns out that way. But I don't blame you being concerned. Probably will be. Probably will be a conservative, probably will be somebody who is pretty bona fide on their conservative point of view. But we won't find out, we will find out on July 9th, a week from Monday. So a lot of vetting is going to be done very, very quickly on the five that are on this list. All right. Before we finish on Friday, we'll get a little Financial Friday thrown in here. The market was up a little bit today. But it's been hammered over the last couple of weeks because of the back and forth about trade. And the president came out and made a comment about the fact that he was not going to let the Chinese companies invest in our technology. And I thought that's very isolationist thinking. I didn't like it at all. I get what he's trying to do for national security. A better plan that I would think would be implemented would be do to China what China does to us. You can't own 50% or more of a business in China if you're American. You can own up to 49%. Let the same thing happen with China here. They cannot own a majority. We do that with airlines. Well, they cannot be majority foreign owned. So he then backed off, and Larry Kudlow, who had that heart attack a couple weeks ago, is back at work. God bless him. And he said I think he talked him down off the ledge a little bit and said what they're going to do instead is use what is already in place, which is CFIUS. And you go, what is CFIUS? That is the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States. It is chaired by the Secretary of the Treasury, and they have representatives from 16 departments and agencies, from defense, from state, from commerce, from homeland security. This is the group that Hillary, when she was Secretary of State, was part of the CFIUS committee, and approved the uranium for Russia to make a big purchase on. So that's the committee, and it's been beefed up, but that's the committee that's going to decide whether or not China is going to be able to invest in anything here in the U.S. Larry Kudlow said the president likes free trade and would prefer no barriers and no tariffs.
Well, look, the president has said what he said. Interestingly, you know, I was with him at the G7 meeting north of Quebec, and he basically said this. I want to remind people of this. I think this has gotten lost in the reportage. He is a free trader, and he would like to see a new world trading system. Current one's broken. He'd like to see no tariffs, no non-tariff barriers, no subsidies. And we are open for that discussion. I was with him, Stu, in bilateral meetings with Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau and French President Macron, and the president said this very, very clearly. So that's that. We're willing to talk about that any place, any time.
Well, Kudlow's great. I like Larry, and he's a very smart guy. He's a good economist, and he's also a free trader. And what he's trying to do is soften the message that goes out into the world. And what he said to actually help the market recover a little bit. But Kudlow is straight shooter, but he's also, he knows who the boss is. So he's got to, he can't just come out and say the boss is wrong, but he's trying to get him to take a different path. And apparently they're going down this path of the CFIUS committee to determine what China can do, which really made the markets feel like there wasn't, such a bad omen waiting in the future. So back to Kudlow. He's talking to Stuart Barney. Said President Trump isn't the reason why our trade deals are so bad.
Look, President Trump is a trade reformer, okay? Don't blame him for all the evils and the breakdown of the WTO and other trading systems, protectionist walls and barriers. He's trying to solve that. He's trying to end that. He is a reformer. And I think that's an important point. Now, look, with respect to China, let me say this. The president proffered the possibility of $200 billion more in tariffs. It's not implemented. It's not executed. It's not fleshed out. But he made that as a warning because we have not had a satisfactory response from China. By the way, we have not had satisfactory responses from the EU or from Canada and Mexico, for that matter. But the Chinese have not yet responded, okay? We will wait and see. I may be too optimistic, but at the moment, they have not come back with their own new set of tariffs. Well, so, Stu Barney, it may be that they are thinking this through, that they heard the president in Quebec, and they may be rethinking their position. And Lord knows, United States, President Trump is open. We are open to have this discussion.
Yeah. Larry's a salesman, and he's selling the idea. No question about it. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Tom Sullivan.
A lot to cover, and so we'll see. This whole business about trade, oh man, it's been roiling the markets, but I think the president's going to win. I think it's pretty easy. I mean, because of the fact that I agree with Trump from way back when he said our trade negotiators are the worst people ever. They don't know what they're doing. Now, I've been saying that for years as well. So I'm not quite sure where this is going, how it's going to wind up. I don't like trade wars because generally everybody, both sides lose. There will be some casualties, but I hope it doesn't go long, and that'll keep the casualties to a minimum. I've got some great emails. Again, you can find my phone number for the show, phone number for the comment line. My email address, the links to my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. and also my podcast. It's all on my website, TomSullivan.com. There's two podcasts, and there are three links. I picked three radio stations from our list of affiliates to put up, one on the West Coast, one in the center of the country, one on the East Coast. Not because you couldn't hear them from wherever you are, but you give you some choice. But there's two podcasts, one iHeart podcast, and the other one is an iTunes podcast. So it's all there at TomSullivan.com. But some of the emails that came in, this one, Alan Humphrey sent me an email talking about the fake phone call that we started the hour off with by Stuttering John got put through to the president. And Alan says, does a fake phone call compared to a fake sign language signer standing right next to the president while he gives a speech? And I'm cracking. I don't know if you meant that to be funny, but it made me laugh. Because remember when Barack Obama was in South Africa for the funeral of Nelson Mandela? And it was at a big stadium. And after President Obama stopped flirting with the president of Sweden or someplace, I forget, real attractive-looking woman, and Michelle was giving Obama a really bad look. But anyway, so he gets up there to give his speech, and there is a guy who is standing right next to the president doing sign language, but everybody afterward that knows how to sign said that person was not making any sense because the person was a fake. And somehow, not only did he get up there to give fake sign language, but that he was standing right next to the president and he was some crazy guy. So, yeah, a phone call is not the same as having a fake person, fake sign language signer, standing right next to the president. Terry sends me an email, says, Nixon was president during Roe. Remind them. True. Richard Nixon was president in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was decided. Wayne says, Tom, Roe v. Wade is another item in the Democrat bag of tricks that is hauled out on a regular basis and beaten till it is deader than dead. Yeah, it's a money raiser, too. Paul says, I believe there's a chance that abortion law will change. Trump is saving America by having more Americans have children because the future doesn't look good for preserving American heritage and culture. If immigration is not touched and abortions continue, we will no longer have an America. It will become another Europe. I think Trump is after the bigger picture here. Most people don't see this. So, in my opinion, there's a chance it will be overturned. I don't know if he's having people have more children, but it's an interesting observation. The reason why, I know in Russia, Vladimir Putin had one day a month where people could have the day off to go home and make babies, because they have the same problem in Russia with a shrinking population, and their birth rate is not replacing their population the same as here in the United States. U.S. women are not having babies at the rate that they used to, and as a result, U.S.-born babies are less than the number. If it takes two to make a baby, we're only having like 1-point-something babies per couple. So, yes, I agree with your premise that unless there are a whole bunch of new babies being born here in the U.S., that's why a lot of people in the business community, that's why a lot of people that are demographers are going, why fight the immigration thing? Let them come in. We need them. Bob says, Tom, what may happen in the court may decide when life begins. After that, no abortion. They might, because the original Roe v. Wade was very limited. They had a big discussion. The Supreme Court justices discussed in detail about whether they would vote for Roe v. Wade or not based upon the first trimester. And I would have to go back and read the law. I'm doing this from memory. But some of the justices said as long as it's during the first trimester, I'm okay with it. But after that, no. And so we know that abortions are done after the first trimester. So that either wasn't part of the rule or the rule has been changed ever since then. So it's, I'm not so sure it's going to change. I don't think they're going to go back and overturn a lot of things that liberal courts have passed in years in the past. But we'll see. And we'll find out next Monday, a week from Monday, who the nominee is for the Supreme Court. Man, I hope they do a good vetting job because they got to make sure that this person gets through without any hiccups. All right, poll comment line banned today. Market up. We were up much higher earlier, but we finished up 55. The Dow now at 24,271. The S&P up 2 points. The NASDAQ up 6 points. The price of oil up again. Now it's up to $74 a barrel. That's the highest it's been in a very long time. And the price of gold went up today, up to $1,254. On the comment line, this caller's solution to the immigration problem may be just a little bit out there.
Yeah, I think we need to attack Mexico. Think of how small the border would be.
Well, they've got a big election in Mexico on Sunday, and this guy is very radical to the left. So I've been a big proponent of economic warfare against Mexico, get them to help us out on this problem that they are helping people come right through their country and into the U.S. So it sounds out there, but maybe I'm out there. This caller knows why there's so much drama over the Russia investigation.
Yeah, well, I think Trump is a Russian agent, and I don't think he's alone. I think there's other people in Washington that are right there with him.
I don't know. Is there a Russian behind every bush? Not George Bush. The other kind of Bush. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.